We have been focusing our attention on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 over the Christmas season. This is a passage where Paul is really focusing in on who our Savior is so that we will worship Him and trust Him more. Today, we are going to spend our time looking at Colossians 1, verse 17. I'll be honest with you, in my prep this week, this verse has just amazed me. It has captured my attention. It has given me time to just be in awe of our Savior. The difficulty is getting that put into words to say to you that really captures your awe of who our Savior is. So forgive me. We're going to trust the Lord to do what He wants with His word, but I just feel like the words I have to say to you just don't quite capture how great this verse and these words about our Savior are. So let me read verse 17, and then we'll pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we will dive in together. And He, that is Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Let's pray. Father, thank You for bringing us here. Thank You for Your many graces. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so to have a place to gather, to have cars to get here, to have a church family, all of these things and so much more are good gifts from You. So we thank You for that. Thank You for this season. Comes with many joys of being with family and traditions and all of that. We praise You for those things. I pray that those things would help us turn our attention to You. But Lord, also for those who have lost loved ones, this is a difficult time. So I pray for Your comfort, for the grieving. I pray for Your grace to sustain their faith through this time, that You would encourage their hearts, even in sorrow. Father, there are many in our church even now who are sick or are recovering from surgeries. Would You heal them? Lord, would You sustain their faith? We praise You for many good reports, even from this week. Lord, would You continue that work so that our church family can be back with us and can continue to serve You and give You glory in that way. Lord, I pray for our deacons. As they get ready to officially begin their term, I praise You for thank You for the way they're already serving our church. I pray that they would serve faithfully, that they would follow after Christ first and foremost, and Lord, that You would sustain them as they seek to take care of the church body. And Lord, now as we look at Colossians 1:17, we really need You. We need the Holy Spirit to rightly set our minds on just the greatness of Jesus. That we would trust Him more today. That we would worship Him more today. That all of our hope would be in the One who was before all things and who holds all things. Help us, Lord, in that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're kicking off our fun, old-fashioned family Christmas by heading out into the country in the old front-wheel drive sleigh to embrace the frosty majesty of the winter landscape and select that most important of Christmas symbols. Who said that? Clark Griswold had big expectations for his family Christmas and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But things don't usually go according to the plan for Clark Griswold. By the time they got to the tree that they were going to cut down, his tongue was already becoming numb, and he realized he forgot his saw. So they got their Christmas tree on the top of their car with roots and all. And then they get the tree home, and it is far too big. The top is scraping all over the ceiling. And then, perhaps you remember, he cuts the rope from around the tree, and that tree fans out, you know, quickly and breaks several of the windows. And of course, that's only the beginning of the trouble the Griswolds face over their family Christmas. If there is anybody who epitomizes not holding it all together, I think it might be Clark Griswold. But you know, we're not all that different. We all like to think that we are in control of our lives, that we're holding everything together so that it goes like we intend things to go. We attempt to juggle it all: work, family, relationships, marriage, parenting, church, our walk with the Lord, ourselves, our emotions, our words. But there are times when something happens in our lives that shatters our pretense of control. Christina was in labor with Julia for like 30 hours or something like that. She was so ready to have that baby. And we waited and we waited, you know, wishing we could just schedule her birth. And then Julia just snuck out. Literally, no doctor in the room. Nurse moves a pillow, and there was baby Julia in the bed. It was insane. Well, you can ask Christina later. And could not control any of that. And then you know the next 2 days after you have a newborn, it's spent taking test after test. And each test, there's this anxiety. Each one presents the potential, all the potential problems that a newborn might face. Well, I realized quickly in those days, life is a vapor. And any control I thought I had was a facade. I mean, I could not control an ounce of what was happening, and every moment of her little life was a miracle. Holding everything in our lives together is like trying to catch smoke in our hands. It falls right through. It can't really be grasped. And so what can we do? What hope do we have? How about someone whose life is not a vapor and who holds all things together? Church, his name is Jesus Christ. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So he is the one in control. He is the Lord over creation in our lives. He is worthy of our trust. The Colossians have trusted in this Jesus. They've been brought out of the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his Son. They've been forgiven of their sins through the blood of Christ. But, like us, their eyes can start to drift. And they can begin to trust themselves again, like they are still holding all things together. We can start to trust in our own rituals. If as long as we do this or go to church and check it off, then things will fall right into place. Or we can trust our own good works. If I do this, things will go according to plan. Or we can start to trust other people. What happens is our faith in Christ starts to wobble. Well, Paul writes to the Colossians so that they will be, he says, established in the faith. That they'll continue in the faith that they began with, and they'll be stable and steadfast. He says, not shifting from the hope of the gospel of Christ Jesus. But to get there, instead of Paul saying, you guys need to do better, instead of saying, you just need to have more faith, what he says is, hey, look at Jesus. He is far better. He is far better. Superior to anything else you might be tempted to trust in, and he is the Lord of everything. Glance down at verses 15 through 20, and maybe just notice how many times Paul uses the phrase all things when he's talking about Jesus. Verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. In heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So this is what I say to you this morning. Your life is a vapor. Your control is a facade. But your Savior is eternal. And he holds all things together. So let's consider the first phrase that Paul gives us in verse 17. It says, he, which is Jesus, is before all things. Number one, Jesus existed before all things. Jesus existed before everything else. That is, he is eternal. Before anything else existed, before time, in eternity past, Jesus was there. And he was there because he is God the Son. Psalm 90 verse 2 says of God, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In fact, in the Bible, one of the distinguishing marks of the true God from false idols is the fact that God is everlasting. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah is telling us how foolish it is to worship idols. And so he says, the instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. That is, somebody made them. But the Lord, he says, is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. God was there before everything else. Paul reminds us here that Jesus is God. He's unlike any other. He existed before all things as God the Son. Now, before we think about all the implications of this, just try to ponder this truth about your Lord for a moment. Everything you know in life, everything you experience, everything you use, everything you understand, and even your own life had a beginning. I mean, no matter how old something seems, it had a beginning. Now, just try to let your brain hurt for a second. The Son of God had no beginning. He has always existed. I mean, my life is a vapor. That little baby that was born to us is 9 years old, right? I'm 32 and my knees already ache, right? My life is a vapor. To Jesus, 1,000 years in his sight are but yesterday when it's past. How great is our Savior? He has always existed. And now ponder some of the implications of that. If Jesus existed before everything else, he did not need anything. I mean, for you and I to exist, we need oxygen. We need this earth to stay exactly where it's at, right? Not to go too close to the sun or we'll burn up, or too far from the sun and we'll freeze to death. We need gravity to keep us here. We need food. Amen. We need water all day long. We need blood. We need other people. The Son of God existed before any of that existed. He does not need anything. He does not get tired. He does not need to sleep. Or think about what it means for Jesus to create everything if he existed before everything. There are some extremely creative people in the world. Whoever decided to mix the flavors of bacon and maple and put it on a donut is a creative genius. Or like, consider your iPhone. I mean, I think about it and I just, how in the world did somebody figure out all these tiny little pieces and if you put them together just right and like, how in the world? That's incredibly creative. But the most creative person in the world can only rearrange material that's already been existed. The best they can do is put different parts together to try to create something new. Even then, they can't create new life. Jesus existed before there were any materials to create with, which means he created out of nothing. And there it was. How great is our Lord Jesus? Or consider his wisdom. Like, if you and I want to gain wisdom, what we should do is go to older, wiser people. Why? Well, they've gained wisdom through experience over time, and they've received wisdom from people before them. Well, let me ask you, whom did Christ consult? To whom did Jesus go to for wisdom? He existed before any wise man. He's the source of all wisdom. He's where all that wisdom comes from. And consider how quickly the wisdom of our world changes. You guys realize it wasn't that long ago that your doctor would smoke outside your room? Can you imagine that today? Remember when gluten was fair game for us all? Our wisdom is constantly shifting. But if the source of true wisdom is eternal, then the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord remains forever. The wisdom of Christ never fades. It never gets outdated. It's eternal because he's eternal. And because it comes from the Lord who existed before all things, it's to be trusted. Jesus existed before all things and had no beginning. But we should not limit our thoughts about Jesus to a long time ago or to far, far away. Because he is very much at work in everything all the time, even in this very moment. Because Paul says, his second phrase in verse 17, in him, in Christ, all things hold together. Number two, he preserves all things. He preserves all things. When our Lord created the world, he did not create it and then step back and watch it go. Jesus was not a watchmaker who set the clock and then started the tick and then let it tick on its own. No. He holds all things together. This is an aspect of Christ's providence, which means he not only creates the world, he governs the world. You know, I have a good friend, a really good friend, who was just voted mayor of his town. Unanimous vote. 14 yeses, 0 noes. Unbelievable. This guy has risen the ranks. And I asked him, hey, what are you going to do? Like, what's your role as mayor? And he said, I don't have a clue. He said, keep the town from falling apart, I guess. Jesus governs the universe. And a part of that role is holding it all together. Which means the universe does not explode or implode into oblivion because Jesus is holding it together. Now, when is Jesus doing this? Well, the verb Paul uses, hold together, here is perfect tense, which means it began at creation and it continues every moment of every day. Jesus is not governor who checks in every month to make sure things are okay. He is continually, always holding all things together. And just to be clear, what exactly is he holding together? Paul tells us, all things. The grass doesn't float away because Jesus is holding it together right now. Your lungs continue to take in oxygen and blow out CO2 because Jesus is preserving them in this very moment. Every blood vessel in your body stays intact because Jesus is right now holding it together. The galaxies with billions of stars bigger than our sun doesn't crash into each other and obliterate all of existence because Jesus is right now holding it all together. And every molecule, every microscopic atom continues its normal operation because your Lord is holding it all together. Now, how in the world does he do this? Well, the author of Hebrews says it like this. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. That is, he commands and his universe obeys. Oh, what kind of power does it take to keep everything that has or does exist all together? Friends, how well do you juggle two things at once? I mean, do you have the power to really uphold your health, your relationships, your time, yourself? Or think about what God said to Job. He said, Job, do you command the morning? Friends, when's the last time you told the sun where to go and when? Consider the power of our Lord Jesus. And the reality is, friend, even if you're here and do not believe in this Jesus, you are totally dependent upon him every moment of every day for everything. The breath that just entered and left your lungs is in the hands of the Son of God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's the Son of God. He's totally unlike us. Far, far greater, far superior to us and the rest of creation. So what does he have to do with us? Right, if this is where we are left, this beautiful truth about who Jesus is, all this truth would do is show us the greatness of our God that we have offended in our sin. This is the God we've rebelled against, the one who had no beginning and who is holding us together right now. If this were all the truth we had, our life is still a vapor and our control is still a facade. So where can we find hope? Because, brothers and sisters, the eternal God entered time. God the Son, who had no beginning, was born. The Lord, who needed absolutely nothing, entered our world as a baby who needed to be fed and swaddled and cared for. The King who holds the universe together was held in the arms of his mother. He left glory and took on our flesh. Why? To die. Athanasius once wrote, "For the Word," that is God the Son, "realizing that in no other way would the corruption of human beings be undone except simply by dying, yet being immortal and the Son of the Father, the Word was not able to die. For this reason, he takes to himself a body capable of death, in order that it, participating in the Word who is above all, might be sufficient for death on behalf of all." Christians, the eternal Son of God, who holds the universe right now in his hands, became a mere mortal in order to die for your sins and to rise from the dead, so that you, whose life is a vapor, might have eternal life. If your faith is in Christ, there is right now, friends, no condemnation for you, nor will there be on Judgment Day. So please just sit in this glorious truth for a second, that the eternal Son of God who holds the universe in his hands is for you. He will always and forever do what is good for you. He is trustworthy. So yes, our life is a vapor. That is okay, because our Savior is eternal, and he gives us eternal life. Yes, we often lack wisdom. That's okay. The Word of Christ never changes. We can go to him for wisdom. And beloved, just as Jesus is right now holding your heart and lungs and body together, he's also holding your salvation. He's holding your faith together. And he will never let you go. Yes, you will often have a hard time keeping things together. Christian, you were never meant to. Our Lord Jesus holds it all together. So what are we meant to do then? The first thing is trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Friend, if you have not repented of your sin and turned to Christ, please realize that this eternal God, the one who is right now holding you together, in your sin, you have offended him. I don't mean you hurt his feelings. I mean you've broken his law. But if you will believe in him, you will be saved, forgiven of your sin, adopted into his family. And then that eternal God who holds it all together will be for you. And believers, Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you." If he's the one who holds it all together, we ought to go to him every day. Cast our burdens on him in prayer constantly. What are you anxious about? Go to the Lord who holds all of those things in his hands and is for you. Are you weary? Jesus does not get tired. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Depend on his strength. Are you confused about what to do in a particular situation in your life? Go to his wisdom every day. His wisdom never changes. It's been secure for eternity. Trust the Lord Jesus. And second, worship the Lord Jesus. Worship him. As we enter the Christmas season, we ought to think hard about the fact that this eternal God stooped down and became man for us. The words of the hymn that we sang just a moment ago, "Christ by highest heaven adored," right? He's been worshiped by angels. "Christ, the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb." veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. I'll leave you with this quote from Sinclair Ferguson. He said this: "The gospel begins to amaze us when we learn who it is who has come. It's staggering to the intellect. Indeed, I think we can say, if your intellect has never been staggered by the reality of the incarnation, you don't know what the incarnation means. It doesn't mean Jesus was a little baby. It means the eternal, infinite, divine one, worshipped by cherubim and seraphim, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, infinite in his being, wisdom, power, majesty, and glory, who in a word could dissolve the world that had sinned against him, was willing to come into this world and assume our flesh in order to become our Savior. It is overwhelming. That's the great thing about the gospel, isn't it? It's never done overwhelming you. Wave upon wave upon wave of worship and adoration that God the Son should come for the likes of me. And not just because it's the likes of me, but because it's the one who is without parallel in infinite majesty who has done this. Indeed it is. Worship him." Let's pray together.